Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Do you have your Bibles?
Yes.
Would you lift it up?
Yes.
And say with me, this is the infallible word of God. It is God's promise, God's purpose, God's will, God's love letter, God's everything to me. I am what it says I am, and I can do everything it says I can do. Today in this service, the seeds of the infallible word of God. And I declare by faith that it is producing in my life fruits that will last forever. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Tell them water is good, but wine is better. Say it again. Say water is good, but wine is better. I asked, like I asked on Friday, that you give me a few minutes of your total undivided attention. And I want us to get back into the Word of God and receive the precious things that the Lord has for us in this service. Amen. Amen. Do you promise me to give me your total undivided attention? I know it is very easy to be distracted. There's so many things sometimes that call for our attention. And in a service like this, sometimes it's very difficult. But I want us to, let's put our focus on Jesus today. Amen. And let's get into some old-time gospel. I say, let's get into some old-time gospel. The Lord has some good things for us. Amen. So, on Friday, we went in the direction of water is good, but wine is better. And God's wine is the best, isn't it? And today, we're going to go similar direction, but slightly different. And I'm going to ask you a question as the title of my message. And one of the biggest segments of my message when I get there, you are going to see, is a question. We're going to read that question together from the Word of God. We're going to have it put up. They're going to help us put it up. And we're going to read it together from the Word of God. But the question that I want to ask as the title of my message today is, where is the fire power? That is my question. And that is the title of my message. Where is the fire power? So I'm going to take my time and do a little bit of teaching and things. But there are some very important things I want to say. And I'll be very conscious of time. It's 12:38. So I trust God that, you know, if you give me about 50 minutes, I should be able to round up and close. Amen. So let's start out from 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. And right here is the story of the prophet Elijah and protégé. Thank you. I'm going to need that help. And they had been walking together, and this protégé had passed the test, passed all the tests. And finally, they came to a place and a time when that prophet Elijah was going to be taken away. And let's pick up this story from 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. I know you prayed, and I prayed. And the Lord helped me here. He said, ask what I shall do for you. There's only one thing that is far more important, above, over everything else in this world for the believer. Whether you are a believer here in the United States, whether you are a believer in Europe or believer in Africa, in any other continent, there is only one thing that is most important. There's so many other important things. But there is only one thing that is most important. And if you have the opportunity and you get before the Lord and the Lord says, ask for one thing, I pray, my prayer for you is that that is the one thing you would prioritize and esteem over everything else. He said, ask, I'll give you anything. He said, I ask you for a double portion of your spirit. Let it be upon me. I'm not asking you for political power. I am not asking you for legislative power. I am not asking you for financial power. I am not asking you for any other kind of power that makes me significant and relevant in the world, although I want them all. But the one thing I ask of you, the one thing that I'm asking of you, give me a double portion of your spirit. Let's keep on reading. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. You have asked a hard thing. I understand today more than ever why it is hard to receive spiritual power. I understand in my life, in the body of Christ, in our nations, the nations of the world today, more than anything, it is very hard to receive spiritual power. It is not that hard to get political power. It is not. It is not that hard to get any other kind of, you want financial power? You can get it if you are willing to do the work. And many of you know what I'm talking about. You feel very empowered because you have great jobs. I mean, all you needed to do, get a good education. I mean, I'm not saying that's nothing. I'm not saying that's little. But it's not as hard as getting spiritual power. You just needed to be very focused, very diligent, carve out a good path, career path, give it your best, and be willing to do everything and sometimes even sacrifice everything else. And you will get financial power. There is nobody who is broke, who wants to have wealth, that can't have it. There's nobody who can't. The only person who can't is a lazy man. Anybody who says, I'm willing to do anything to get out of my poverty, you can do it. You can do it, especially in this nation, the United States of America. I know not every nation in the world provides that kind of opportunity. But in this nation, you can. But I understand more than anything why spiritual power is hard to receive. You don't need to look very far. Just look around you. Just look around you. So how many believers do you know? Just think far and wide. And you will understand why spiritual power is very hard to get. It's very hard. Spiritual power is very hard to get. But my beloved, it is the greatest gift that heaven has for humanity. Spiritual power. When you have spiritual power, dominion, authority, grace, favor, wisdom, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, nothing is comparable. Nothing is comparable. And when you have it, you become a little lord on the earth. That's why in some part of the Old Testament, they even referred, if New Testament, they refer to some of God's people as gods. You remember one place, Paul and Barnabas, something happened there. They were, ministering, and they finished, and they came. They immediately they called them gods. They say, "You are gods." They named one of them Jupiter. They named the other one whatever that was. I think this may be Acts chapter 14. They made them gods, and they started worshiping them immediately. They started worshiping them. You know why? Because spiritual power is very hard to get. But it is the most precious thing you can possess in your life. Spiritual power guarantees you everything else. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, you have asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me. Oh, Jesus. Somebody say, if you see me. Say, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it will be so unto you. If you see me, that's the price you have to pay. Oh, it's so hard sometimes to see him. Because there are too many distractions. There are too many things calling for our attention that require that we do something about them. Sometimes it's so hard to sit still to see him. It's very hard. It's very hard to be in a place, even in a service like this, when I have already put out the appeal. Please give me your 100% attention. Think to yourself right now, how many of your minds are going in so many different directions? I just want you to see him today. I just want you to see him. I don't want you to see your neighbor. I don't want you to see the preacher. I don't want you to see the lights. I don't want you to see the camera. I just want you to see him. I just want you to see him. But think how difficult it is. See, because as you try, there are distracting voices and thoughts. You are trying hard, but they keep coming. You try, you get it maybe for a few seconds. They come, and for like 3 minutes, you are gone. You bring yourself back. For another 1 minute, you are there, but you are gone again for another 5 minutes. It's hard. Can I get a witness in this church? Is anybody understanding you? Do you know what I'm saying is true here? And if this can happen to you in the church, where we devoted just maybe a couple of hours to be in the presence of the Lord, think how hard it must be to achieve that in your home. Think. With all the TV sets, all the news, all the different things at work and in our country. I mean, there's so much entertainment. It's so hard to see him. But if you can see him, oh, friends, you can truly experience something that is more precious than gold. If you can see him, that's what he said. He said, it's a hard thing you have asked. He said, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it will be so unto you. But if you do not, then what? Come on. If you do not, then what? Now, can help me now. Talk to me. If you do not see me, then what? What shall not be so? You will not have spiritual power. He said, if you see me, yes, you will. But what if you don't? Then you won't. Will you still be a prophet? Yes. But will you have spiritual power? No. Will you still be a churchgoer? Yes. Do you still have your Bible? Yes. But you will not have spiritual power. Somebody say, I will see him. Come on, say, I came in here to see him. I came here, my only purpose, my only reason for being here today is to see him. Even if that was not your purpose for coming, it is now your purpose. Say, my purpose now is to see him, and I will see him today. And it came to pass in verse 11, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Oh, my friends, there is so much fire that heaven has for the earth. Heaven has so much fire. This is not a movie. This actually really happened. I know it's very hard to conceive of it, but it really happened. That while these two men were talking, suddenly there appeared chariots, not one, chariots of fire and horses of fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Who sent it? Somebody say God.
God.
Somebody say God. There's so much fire that heaven has for the earth. There's so much fire. He said he parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then what? He saw him no more. Suddenly, Elijah was gone. Suddenly, Elijah was gone. Please, give me your 100% attention. I want to say one or two things. May surprise you, but it is true, and it can change your life. And it can change your spiritual experience permanently forever. Suddenly, Elijah is gone. He saw him no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes, what he was wearing. He took his own clothes and he rent them in pieces. He tore them apart. And then what did you do next? He took up also the mantle that fell from Elijah. That fell from Elijah. And then he went back to the Jordan, to the bank of the Jordan River. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he smote the waters. And he asked a question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let me ask you, even though Elijah was gone, was the Lord God of Elijah still there?
Yes.
I said, let me ask you, even though Elijah was gone and he couldn't see him anymore, was the Lord God of Elijah still there?
Yes.
How did he know? Because when he took that mantle, what verse is this now? When he parted it, verse 14 now, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. That is, he struck the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, then what happened? They parted here and there, and Elisha went over exactly like it happened when Elijah did it. Exactly like it happened when Elijah did it. Interpretation. Elijah was not the source of the power.
Because Elijah is gone today and we can't see him no more, but the power is still there. Interpretation, Elijah was not the source of the power. Who is the source of the power? Now, the power will bring you honor. As conduits of God's power, the power will bring us honor. The power will bring us riches. The power will bring us wisdom. If you were here on Friday, you heard this. You heard this stuff. The power will bring you, it will bring you praise and amazement and glory. It will. Because right there, right after that, as soon as Elisha parted that and that water went left and right, then what happened next? He said, and when, what verse is verse 15? And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho when they saw him, then what happened? They said, this is the spirit of Elijah. This spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And then what happened? They came to meet him. And then what did they do? They bowed them. They started honoring him. They started falling to the ground before him. Now I want you to hear me. These same sons of the prophet, when they saw Elisha before, around Elijah, they despised him. They said, do you even know anything? Do you know that your master is about to be taken away from you? Do you have any kind of insight and any kind of revelation? Do you know what is about to happen? Do you have any wisdom in your life? Do you know anything? Everything they ask him is just say, I think I know. I think I know. When he got a hold of the power in his life, he did not have to explain anything. He did not have to preach a long message. He didn't have to sing a long song. He didn't have to do any gymnastics. What happened? They just came and started bowing themselves to him. They started looking at him like he's a different kind of person now. What made the difference? I said, what made the difference? Spiritual power is very, very hard to get, but it is the most precious gift from heaven to man. Political power can be taken away. Somebody who has political power today may not have it next year. Other financial power can be taken away. But spiritual power can never be taken away from you. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? There is no difference. Listen to this now. Because I want us to go somewhere. This is why I say, give me your 100% attention. I know you are doing your best. Good job. Clap for yourself. Say, good job. I'm giving my 100%. I'm very close. It's not yet there, but I'm getting very close. Clap for yourself. There is no difference. Listen to this now. There is no difference between Jesus and his body. There is no difference between Jesus and his body. When it came to spiritual power, was there any difference between Elijah and Elisha? Come on, church, talk to me quick. You come with me quick. When it came to spiritual power, was there any difference between Elijah and Elisha? Other than the fact that Elisha got a double portion. Was Elijah such a superman spiritually and Elisha was a nobody spiritually? Is that what happened? Now what happened? What happened is that both of them were full of power, weren't they? Was there any difference between Elijah and Elisha? Why? Because the same mantle that Elijah used to strike that water, and he experienced the power of God manifest, is the same exact mantle that Elisha used, and he saw exactly the same result. He saw exactly the same result. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the head of the church, Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit who empowers the body, the believers.
We don't have a second rated, second grade, lower quality Holy Spirit. So then, where is the fire power? This is a direct quote. This is a very direct quote. Read it slowly. Hopefully, you can reproduce it. Listen to this. You cannot be this cold and passionless and unexcited and uninteresting and disinterested if you are truly baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is a direct quote. I'm going to repeat it. You cannot be this cold and passionless and unexcited and uninteresting and disinterested if you are truly baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to take you on this next step of this journey. I've established the first step. The first step, the highest power there is what? Come on, talk to me, church. The highest kind of power there is what? Is it financial power? Is it political power? Is it power in your office? Is it power in the community? What are the other kind of powers that exist? You people know more than I. Relational power. Is it relational power? What is the highest kind of power that exists? Somebody say spiritual power. Where is that spiritual power from? Somebody say Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say Holy Spirit. You cannot be this cold and passionless and uninteresting and disinterested if you are truly baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. It just shows you don't have him. You are not filled with him. No, you are not. Or it shows he is dormant in you. It's one of the two. It's either you don't have him or he's dormant in you. Well, today, we want to start a process of making him more active. Amen. I said we want to begin a process of making him more active. Amen. We want more fire. Amen. We want more fire. We want more power. We want more glory. Amen. We want more wine. More wine. Amen. Amen. I warned you, this is old-time gospel. I hope you came with your mantles. This is old time gospel. Because before we get done here, in the little time that I have, I want to see you take off that piece that you are wearing, that one you are wearing, the one that has covered you for so many years, like Elijah did. I want to see you remove it and throw it away and put on the mantle of the Holy Spirit. So that when we see you covered by him. We see you overshadowed by his power. Hallelujah. Spiritual power. Now, listen to this. This is where we left off on Friday. This is where we left off on Friday. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This church is getting cold. Are you guys feeling cold online too? I just got started. Somebody stand to your feet and pray for the United States of America. Come on. Stand to your feet. Pray for the United States of America. I want you to ask for one thing and one thing only. Ask for revival. Revival fire of the Holy Spirit. Revival of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Pray for this nation. Pray for this nation. Revival. Revival. We ask for revival. That Jesus will be Lord.
that Jesus will be king, that Jesus will be king, that Jesus will be Lord. Lord, we pray for the United States. We pray for the United States of America. We pray for the church. We pray, come on, pray with me for the body of Christ in this nation. We pray for revival fire of the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit will visit us again. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take over again. We pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us again. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take over in the name of Jesus. Sit down. Sit down. Should I say it now? Yes, Lord, should I say it now? I'm saying it now. You are not distracted because you are giving me your 100% attention. You'll get this. It's a little step off, but you'll get it in the spirit if you've been in the spirit. Listen to me. I woke up this morning hearing in my spirit, hearing these words ring to me. For what the law could not do because it was weak. I woke up in my spirit this morning. I kept hearing it. Ringing in my spirit for what the law could not do because it was weak. So I pulled my concordance to try to find out where that scripture is. And I found it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Put it up for me. For what the law could not do because it was weak. You cannot legislate sin. The Supreme Court let me stay in the spirit now. The Supreme Court can create laws against every kind of sin in the world. It will only create more sinners. Pray for the church in this nation. Because the devil, he's a master planner. We used to live in Europe. We lived in England. We had been missionaries for many years in Nigeria before we moved back. I was born in England, so I'm a British citizen. But I didn't really live most of my life there. When we got back in there, we came with the fire of the Holy Spirit looking for, we knew God sent us there and God was sending us to the West. And we were just looking for expression everywhere, expression. And so, of course, I'll never forget an experience I had. I was sitting down in the train in the morning. I used to walk our city, the city where we lived, the city called Reading. And I walked in another city called Newbury. It wasn't too far from us, but that was the best place I could find this kind of job I was looking for. And every day I had to commute, every early morning and late evening, I'll commute back and forth. And I'll never forget, and of course, you know, though I didn't carry a big Bible, you know, whatever, every opportunity I got, I looked for a way to talk about the Lord. Every opportunity I got on that train. And I'll never forget sitting down with this teenage Caucasian British boy. He sat opposite me, and I prayed for a little bit. I thought, this is my target today. Holy Spirit, should go for it. He said, go for it. I went for it. So I started off a conversation with him. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? It's funny, you know. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior? He said, this God is my witness. I lie not. He said, Jesus? He said, who is Jesus? What is Jesus? He said, I only know Jesus as a swear word. I didn't know Jesus was a person. In England, in the United Kingdom, where for many years, the Church of England led the nation by laws that were based on the Bible. The church is
almost, I don't know how many times, woke up. Some of those services I was ministering on Sundays in our church there in St. Saviour's Christian Center in Reading. Some of the services we were attending as ministers and things. But I'll never forget how many times where we lived, our apartment was a beautiful apartment. If it was right across a field, a public field, and a park. And this was like a park where families went to every Sunday morning, you know. And I would, on our way to church, I would pull the blinds as we're getting ready to go to church. Families filled the park, running, playing, and tears would be streaming down my eyes. Because I knew how godless that nation had become. It was not because they didn't have laws. It was because they did not have Holy Spirit fire. It's because they did not have Holy Spirit fire. Have you been to Sweden? Some of these nations. Have you gone to some of the nations in the Bible, the Revelation churches, some of the nations where the Revelation churches existed? I think this is one of the reasons my story, I don't talk about it to put any kind of light or attention on myself, but to let you know how deeply convinced I am of my place in destiny. I have no question about it. My journey, my walk, my experience, and where the Lord has brought me. I have no question. I'm right dab in the center of the will of God for my life. And a lot of the things that I see today, I saw in a little setting when I was in high school, in boarding house. I will never forget our house master. His name was Mr. Akinola. He was a Christian. He was one of the few Christians, teachers, who were house masters. He was a very strict man. I still remember him with his glasses, thick goggles. He was also our Bible knowledge teacher. Mr. Akinola did not mess around. He was the strictest person you ever met in your life. Laws, I was in child house. If there's any of us, because I found out some of my classmates from way back sometimes follow our ministry. And if anybody made laws, Mr. Akinola made laws. Mr. Akinola, those of you parents know what I'm talking about. Who made laws for your children? Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. And when you made those laws, what did the children do? They went and did exactly that. Yes. Some of the people that we raised up on laws, Mr. Akiola, well, everybody knew him. It broke my heart because the Lord brought all of this back to me recently. In our entire year in my high school, I was the only male who was a Christian. The only male. In my year, our fellowship was full of women. I was the only, and I went diligently. And every time I sit in there, my heart will break, and I will cry, and I will try this, and I'll. And it seemed like the more I tried, the worse my classmates became. And Mr. Akiola made all his laws, but he created thugs and criminals out of all of those people. His laws didn't change them. The Lord just kept saying, we were very young then, we didn't know much. We didn't know what we were doing. The Lord just said, just keep living the life. Just keep living the life. Just keep carrying the Holy Spirit. Just keep going. We didn't know much what we were doing. And years later, it was frustrating because none of our classmates ever got saved. But years later, many of my classmates became preachers of the gospel. Many of them. In fact, most of them are pastors today. Amen. Most of them. Amen. I've said this before. I was attending a Maurice Cerullo conference in London in 1999, I think it was. I came out of the conference and I met one of the worst ones whose laws Mr. Akinola could not change. The more Mr. Akinola made laws, the more they became more criminals. The more they smoke marijuana, the more they went out on the street and did the worst things you could imagine, in spite of his laws. But years later, Jesus changed them. It was not laws. It was not laws. Many of them became preachers of the gospel. Many of them. Many of them. I want you to look at you. This is not my mess. Holy Spirit, can I leave it now? Yes, let's leave it now. Let's go on. But I want you to know what the law could not do, in that it was weak. That is, the law of God was weak in changing man. The thou shall not commit, thou shall not commit, was weak. And the more those laws, and I tell you, when I pray now, I'm still talking to the Lord about it. I'm still getting insight and revelation. I'm praying for the next 50 years of the United States of America. Amen. I'm praying. My eyes are there for the next generation. Because what I saw in Europe, I pray never happens in this nation. Amen. But we are on that path. We are on that path. Devils from hell. Satan goes and he sends. You think you have seen rebellion? Greater, bigger, rebellious devils from hell. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem as king, he rode on a donkey. The Holy Spirit's meekness and the church's power, spiritual power, and consistent impact as they walk with God is the only hope of any nation. Yes. Yes. That political power you hold today, you will not always have it. Legislative power you have today, you will not always have it. And I tell you, any of you can pray. That's why I got you pray for this nation. You can be happy for a minute. We're not looking to win a battle. We're looking to win the war. Yeah. We're looking to win the war. And the way we win the war is the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, working in the body of Christ. You see, Jesus is king. The chariots of fire are in the church. The chariots of fire must be in the church. This fire message I'm preaching to you today, help me, Holy Spirit, because I know I've got to close, but I've not even started. I got to close. But this fire message I'm preaching to you today is supposed to be in the church. You and I are supposed to take tongues of fire. We are supposed to take the tongues. It should radically change our lives. It should radically transform our destinies. We by ourselves in the churches, then we go out with the fire power of the Holy Spirit. Then we become an influence to the world, not by being a menace, not by being a disturbance, but by working with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that is upon our lives. And we don't even have to tell them, thou shalt not, but the Bible says they will be coming running after us. They'll be coming running after us. So pray for this nation. Because our churches that are spending all this money just to be able to get laws passed. I'm going to tell you, the laws don't do it, my friends. The laws will not get it done. They will stop a few things. They will help a few things. Praise God. Something like gun laws will help a few things. But it is really the heart of man. It is the heart of man. The heart of man. This gospel is a gospel of meekness of the Holy Spirit. Meekness of the Holy Spirit. It's not a gospel of coercion. You cannot legislate sin. You cannot make men do. When you do that, there's greater rebellion that rises. There's greater rebellion that rises. How many of you have had people in your lives that you have made them do certain things? Or children. I know that. I know that. If you were raised in Islamic religion, you know what this is. I smoked my first cigarette at age 14. Had my first girlfriend at age 10. Even though by Islamic, our culture, in our family, they made us do the fast. They made us do, by law, we did everything. I've told you those stories here. We did everything. But it didn't stop the smoking. It didn't stop the drinking. I got drunk the very first time and spilled and messed up a family party at age 15. The laws didn't change it. What was it that changed it? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And that fire power has never left. It has increased and increased and increased. It was not because of laws. It was not because of laws. Whether in private or in public, it's fire. It's fire all the time. It's fire all the time. It has never reduced in magnitude. It's not because there are laws. It's not because somebody is holding something on my head and saying, you must not. No, that's not it. It's because there is something inside so strong. Hallelujah. There's something inside so strong and nothing on the outside can defeat it. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. I just started preaching this message, but I guess I got to close. Sit down, let me try to close. Somebody say, fire of the Holy Spirit, come upon me afresh. Come upon me afresh. Come upon me afresh. Fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, come upon me. Come upon my brother. Come upon my sister. Come upon the church. Come upon the body of Christ. Yes, we should do everything we can. We should seek legislative power. We should seek political power. We should seek to help people. We should seek to do financial. We should do everything. But you know what? The most important thing. Put that scripture up for me. I heard it ringing in my ears this morning. I didn't think about it. It's ringing in my ears. And I woke up and when I looked for my concordances, where is that scripture? Look at it in Romans 8:3. Let's read 3, 4, and 11. And let me try to close this message. I haven't even preached it, but I'm going to close right here. Trust the Holy Spirit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, what did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. The law was too weak to change sin. The law is too weak to stop sin. The law is too weak to overcome sin. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not by the enforcement of the law, but by accepting Jesus and then by buying into the life of the Holy Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In fact, there's a verse there. I can't go there because I've got to try to close this message. There's a verse there which says, no matter what people try to do, a carnal life is enmity against God. They don't even have the ability to love God outside of the Holy Spirit. It's right there in that passage. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Keep going. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. It can't be. You can make the law, but that mind cannot be subject to it. This is not the law of man, this is the law of God. How much less the law of man? But go all the way to verse 11. Hey, say, but if the spirit of him, hallelujah. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, what shall he do? He will quicken your mortal bodies. How? 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 Let me close. I want to close here by asking you a question. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, come upon me afresh. Say, I've been cold for too long. I've been uninterested for too long. I don't have the passion of your heart. Come upon me afresh. Holy Spirit, baptize me with fresh fire. Baptize me with fresh fire. Baptize me with fresh fire. How many people are hungry for the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit here today? Holy Spirit, baptize me afresh. Holy Spirit, baptize me afresh. I make a demand on your mighty presence. I make a demand on your glory. I release my vessel to you. Come and dwell here. Come and dwell here. First, you have to be born again. So if you are not yet born again, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. And then you have to receive him. You have to receive him. Receive the Holy Spirit. Welcome him. And then you have to make room for him so that he can empower you. We got this all wrong. We used to teach waiting to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't wait to receive the Holy Spirit. You wait to receive the endowment of his power. We don't wait to receive him. We wait to receive the endowment of his power. That's why it's so hard sometimes. Because you remember what Jesus said to them? I told you, wait in Jerusalem. Isn't that what he said? Throw those scriptures, or let's just go through them real fast as I close this year. Acts 1:8. Isn't that what he said? Wait in Jerusalem. 1:7, 6, 7, and 8. You receive the promise of the Father. Isn't that what he said? And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you receive what? You receive power. So that you can become witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Luke chapter 24. I think it's 59. Put that up real quickly. What did he say? Is it 59? The endowment of power. 49. I beg your pardon. 49. The endowment of the power of the Holy Spirit. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But then do what? Tarry. Wait in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power. So yeah, we receive him, but then you wait to be endued with power. You spend time with him. You become clothed with his power. You receive the endowment of power. You receive the shaking of his power. I want to ask you this question as I close. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul came to this city and he met a number of believers. And he asked them a question. I want you to put up for us, please, the Message translation of that scripture. Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, the Message translation of that scripture. I want us to ask these few questions and I want you to try to answer them. The first thing he said was, talking to these disciples, these believers, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let's pause. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you really receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Look at the second question. Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? Did he get inside you? When you receive God, did you really receive the Holy Spirit? Or did God just come into your mind only? This is a question every believer needs to ask and try to answer. Close your eyes. Did you really receive the Holy Spirit? Or did you just accept God in your mind? Did he really come inside you? Because there are three major evidences of the Holy Spirit inside you. The first one is fire, passion. The second one is boldness and confidence to be a witness for God. And the third one is assurance of victory. Did you really receive him? Is there power in your heart? Is the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart? The Bible calls Jesus the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's Luke chapter 3. He calls him the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. When the disciples were baptized in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized in fire. The Bible says the place was shaken. Tongues of fire came upon them. And they started boldly and confidently to speak and to witness. And when you read the book of Acts of the Apostles, right through from the very beginning till the end, the church was assaulted. The church was attacked. But they always had assurance of victory. When God is inside of you, you know 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 is a reality. It says, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In fact, some translations say that message, a New Living Translation, the Spirit in you is greater. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. The Spirit inside you is greater than anything in the world. My friends, I close today challenging you and stirring us to go after the fire of the Holy Spirit. To go after revival. We need revival. We need revival in our lives. We need revival in our churches. We need revival in our communities. We need revival in our nation. We need revival. Oh, the reason America is so beautiful is because of the breath of the Holy Spirit. Years and years and years of outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. Revival after revival. Vessels and servants of God that have gone through this nation, carrying the word, being conduits for the Spirit of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit. The Ruach of God resting upon this nation has made it beautiful. It's made it beautiful. Let's not run away and let's not depart from that. Let's go back there. In each of our lives, let's go back. Let's go back. Holy Spirit fire, come on my life again. Holy Spirit fire, take over my life again. Give me fresh passion for the things of God. Stir boldness within me. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verse 31, they prayed in one place, they became filled with the Holy Spirit, and the place was shaken where they were. And they were filled with boldness and began to speak. You cannot be so cold. You cannot be so uninterested. You cannot be so passionless. You cannot be so disinterested if you are truly baptized and truly filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Everybody stand to your feet. I want you to make this your cry as we close this service. Holy Spirit, please visit my life again. Holy Spirit, please send your fire into my life. Holy Spirit, please shake me up. Come on. I want us to get into communion with Him right now. Remember, it wasn't so long ago when in many areas, many parts, many cities, many states in this nation, you had fire revival conferences. Ministers of the gospel praying and inviting the Holy Spirit. And healings and testimonies and different manifestations of God. I know a lot of that at some point became traditionalized, became religious, and we lost the power of it. And we lost the freshness of it. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left. He's still here. Wherever you are today, in your home, in your living room, hospital bed, the Holy Spirit is for you. The fire and the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you. Open up. Open up. Shake yourself up. Don't wait for the roof to shake. Shake yourself up. Don't wait for something to shake you. Shake yourself up. Stir yourself up. Fire of the Holy Spirit, come upon me afresh. Fire of the Holy Spirit, come upon me afresh. Do a work in my heart. Do a work in my heart. Do a work in my heart. When that fire of the Holy Spirit begins to burn in your heart, everything will change. You will suddenly become dissatisfied with the old, the same old, same old. You become dissatisfied with junk. You become dissatisfied with the arm of the flesh, the pound of carnality. You become dissatisfied with things that don't satisfy. You want more of Him. You want more of Him. He said He's going to come into this room today. He said He's going to fill the airwaves if we preach this gospel. So come on, come on. Shake yourself up. Those of you who can pray in the Spirit right now. Silence your mind, pray in the Spirit right now. Lord, I want You. More than anything else, I want You. More than anything else, I want You. If you've never received Him, this is the time. Lift up your hands. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Baptize me afresh. Fill me with holy fire. Holy Spirit, come. Baptize me afresh. Fill me with holy fire. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. 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 Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's so hard to receive spiritual power. The reason it's so hard is because we live in this world and everything around our lives push us away from spiritual power. But you and I can have different in our lives. God really wants to demonstrate His glory and His power and His life through you. It is not because you act weird. It's not that you are supposed to become dramatic. That's why some people started laughing. I saw you and it broke my heart. It totally offended my spirit. Because you don't know how to act in the presence of God. If I started cracking jokes, you would laugh. If I said things that stirred your passion and your emotion, you will respond. I could give a speech and you can become inflamed and you're ready to go do things. But if I stir you towards receiving passion from the Holy Spirit, you don't know what to do because you're not familiar with it. We have an entertainment culture where everything has to be fun and laugh and joke. And there's a place for that. The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. But it is a fool who laughs when he should be crying. What you heard today is dear to the heart of God. Nations are derailed all over the world. No trace of the gospel anymore. Because of what they did with that gospel. They don't even know how to relate with the gospel. It's entertainment. A preacher has to get in the pulpit and crack 5 jokes so that people can listen to them. We have to create drama. We have to wear things that and do things and say things to get people's attention just so that they can hear us. Because we're so far gone from spiritual power. When the Holy Spirit comes in a room, things happen that are not determined by man. Some of those things may be funny. They may look funny. Some of those things may look strange, like it did in Acts of the Apostles. But you owe it to yourself as a child of God to be spiritual. Be spiritual. There's a place to be spiritual. It doesn't mean you are weird. It doesn't mean you are funny. It doesn't mean you act weird and people, you know, all these crazy things people do. Like you have to be a weirdo. No, that's not what it means. But it means you can respond appropriately to God in the moment. You have the right response in the moment to God. You are spiritual. You can be laughing and laughing and laughing. Suddenly God says, I want you to get up and I want you to go and pray for somebody. And immediately you go because you have an appropriate response. You are not a weirdo. You are spiritual. To be spiritually minded, the Bible says, is life. To be carnally minded is death. Many of you take this gospel to your homes. Take them to your family. Even your children don't know how to act. I saw some children laughing. That's the fault of the parents. It means you don't do spiritual things in your homes. Your children don't know how to respond in the presence of God. Those children are the next generation. They are the ones we have to prepare. They have to know how to respond to God. If they don't know how to respond to God, how is this nation going to survive? You think it's the politicians? If your children are not built solid in the Word of God, don't know how to respond to the Holy Spirit, to yield to God, to do the right thing, this nation will not survive. They are the hope of the future. When things happen in the schools, the children should be the ones who say, let's pray. Let's pray. They should go to the teacher and say, Miss whatever, can I please pray? Say, oh no, there's no, we don't, there's separation of, oh no, I'm not talking, I just want us to pray. Can we just pray to stop what the devil is trying to do? Can we just pray to allow God move? And then they start praying because they've been taught to pray. They've been taught to pray. Law, no law. On the bus, when things start happening, a child start throwing up, start convulsing. A child will get up and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Our children won't join the ones who are laughing. Oh, he's so funny. Oh. They will not be foolish. They will not be foolish. That means you too should not be foolish. You should raise them up to be spiritual, to be godly. You see something going on the TV. They are saying things. You get up and say, in the name of Jesus, that will not come to our home. That is not our portion. Nobody will be killed by a gun in our family. In the name of Jesus. No gun violence in our lives. You say recession is bound to happen. No recession in my family. No recession. You speak to the TV. The children to hear you speaking. Somebody gets up in a school and start threatening something. A child gets up who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And says, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every work of darkness. You will not prosper. You will not stand. Children won't get up and join them and say, we don't know what to do. Oh, how are we going to survive? We may all die. You will not die. You speak the word. You be spiritual. Be spiritual. Take the fire of the Holy Spirit and nurture it and build power in your heart. Build power in your heart so you can make a demand when the moment shows up. When that man took that mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He knew what he was doing. And I tell you, the Lord God of Elijah showed up for him. And he will show up for you. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise in this house. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Bless his holy name. Come on, bless him. Come on, keep on praising him. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Keep on praising him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My friends, it's so easy to get accustomed to the way the world is. It's so easy to do what everybody is doing. It's so easy to be cold. After all, who is serving God? It's so easy. But take this from me. God has you where he has you for an eternal destiny. Be different. Be different.
You may be the only one. Be it and speak up. Don't be silent. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. You may be the minority. Don't worry about it. The Lord is saying to you, keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. I will set you up for my glory. I will set you up for my glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Be different, but be godly. Don't be different and be weird just for the sake of being weird. Be solid. Be loyal. Be faithful. Be dedicated. Be strong. Don't be one of those who, yes, you yield to the Holy Spirit, but then you are flaky. You are flaky. You don't have a backbone. When attacks come, you don't know how to say no, stop. Don't be one of those. Open heavens is happening. This is what God wanted us to do, open heaven. And don't you ever laugh again. Those of you, I saw you laughing. You know yourselves. Don't, in the presence of God like this, when something serious is going on, don't be laughing. Because it shows that you don't really believe it. And the day you need God to show up, He won't show up. Because you don't believe it. Don't take it casual. There's a place for laughter. Don't get me wrong. The Bible said there's a time and a season for everything. But witness is not entertainment. We didn't come together so that we can have fun and then we can make ourselves laugh and then so that we can go home and know we had church today because we laugh. That's not church. And people tell me something. Oh, it was packed. The service was packed. It was packed. Wall to wall. Oh, there was no standing room only. No, there's no way. Oh, people were there everywhere. And when I asked, there was God there, I don't know. I don't know. Who cares about that? Do you care about that? I walked with him too long. As a single male in that fellowship in high school, almost 40 years ago, I saw his power. It was not the number of people there. All those people who didn't join that fellowship, many of them became preachers. Some of them still tell me today. They say, you remember we were laughing at you? I say, yeah, I remember. But it's okay, I didn't take it personal. You didn't know what you were doing. But here you are, in the same boat with me now. These things will last throughout eternity. I'm telling you. Yes. There are going to be rewards. Yes. Yes. You have to understand that. Yes. And families and parents in your homes. I'm very passionate. I'm going to meet with you parents. I'm very passionate about this. Because the devil is on the attack. He's looking for our children. Yes. And it is not the church that is going to save our children. It is not taking our children to entertainment center. Oh, Ronnie, we speak a little Bible, then we go away. Do you know how many children are getting therapy today? Losing their minds? Almost, somebody gave me a statistic recently. Almost one out of every two child in many high schools are asking for therapy. These are children. Who told them they need therapy? The devil is out to destroy. It's not and taking them to entertainment center. Oh, let's go. Let me tell you, we've done that. Been there, done that. It's not to a church. Oh, make them just having fun, a lot of fun. Yeah, fun is good, but mix it up. But let me tell you, it is in the home. Yes. The destiny of the children is in the home. Yes. Do you know how many children went through our children's church? With children's pastors, youth pastors, that that are pregnant out of wedlock today? That are smoking drugs? I personally drove some of them. You remember? We drove to camp in Pennsylvania. I personally drove one of the vans. With youth pastor, with this, with Pastor Tino, with, you know, we went to camp. Did. Do you know how many of those children today don't even know the Lord? Why? Why? It's because the destiny of the children is in the home. It's not in the church. It's not in the activities. It's in the home. If you don't have a place where you read, I know I'm going long. I'm going to stop soon. Thank you. I will close very soon. But it's open heavens, right? I have the right to close whenever I want to close. I can say whatever the Lord put in my heart. If you don't sit with those children and read this Bible with them, if you don't see things going on in their lives and call them to attention, say, no, we can't do this. If you don't have them pray, minister to them. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Teach them and show them by example. And raise them up according to the way of the Lord. If we don't do it, our children don't have a future. I was told recently, one of them, I was just told, is pregnant. Out of wedlock. Used to be in youth church. Used to be in children's church. Many of them, not even from just a long time ago, just even recently, don't have a Bible, don't read, don't go to church, don't do anything. Just go there like they don't even know God. Whose fault is this? Whose fault is this? You buy the best shoes for them, buy the best this, buy the best that, but you don't force them to read the word. You don't force them to go to the house of the Lord. It's not that the house of the Lord is where. No, it's partnership. They go to the house of the Lord. They read their Bible. You teach them at home. They go to the house of the Lord. They read their Bible. They do the thing. You lead them. You train them. You do your part. They get something in the house of the Lord. You train them. They will say, well, you know, if we do it, we fun. It's not the fun. I can give you children. I know them all across America. Their parents have told me. They get all the fun. They get everybody in therapy. Don't know how to handle anxiety. Don't know how to handle depression. Don't know. It's not the fault of the children. The devil is on a rampage. And the ones who want to be good, he's constantly putting them under pressure. Why are you so different? You should be like everybody. There's something wrong with you. Maybe you are not. Maybe you are not. Maybe you are gay. He's constantly putting them under pressure. Church, we can make a difference. Jesus only had a few people. Paul had 12. The people in Acts 19, 12 people. He said, come, let's do something. They started a movement. You will not miss your way. You will not miss your way. Raise up your hands to heaven. Let's close. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Lord, we bless your name. Come on. Just close out. Let's worship him as we close out. We bless your name. We bless your holy 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 name. Thank you, Father. I call you blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your household. May his countenance shine upon you. May he give you peace. May the glory of God rest in your abode. May you be a light to shine for God. May you not be weary in this desperate world. In the name of Jesus, may you carry the ark of God everywhere you go. May you be worthy representations of the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, may you be bearers of the power of God, carriers of the Holy Ghost, carriers of the virtues of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, may you be world changers. May you be world changers. May the fruits around you be blessed. May your entire household be blessed. May wealth and riches dwell in your house. May the light of God surround you. May the favor of God surround you. May you be clothed with wisdom, the garment of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus. May you not miss your way. May you go up to the next level. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord God of all, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of Elijah show up for you. In the day when you cry out for him, may he not hide his face from you. In the day of your need, may the Lord come through for you. May you not miss your way. May you not lack for any good thing. May God make a way for you where there is no way. May he open doors for you where there are no doors. May he grant you favor. May he heal your sick bodies and grant you life, preserve your life, and grant you a great destiny. In the name of Jesus, you will shine. You will shine. You will shine. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.